Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Chick Flick Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lucy Weston, and thank you for joining us for the Chick Flick Chat radio show, a spin-off feature of the popular website www.hereweareWithLucy.com. I invite you to stop by the site and check out the helpful articles. Subscribe so you're alerted to new content. It's free and your information is never sold or shared. Plus, we know you are busy and prefer quality to quantity, so we don't bug you with constant updates. The basis of our mission is to inspire your independence, support your personal growth, and make your busy day better, brighter, and easier. It's Saturday, March 19th, 2011. And this episode of Chick Flick Chat is coming to you from our new Blog Talk Radio page because this show has gotten so popular, it was time to give it a home of its own. And you can find all of the previous Chick Flick Chats by going to hereweareWithLucy.com and clicking the Chick Flick Chat page. You'll find all of the links to the previous shows. The Here We Are radio show will continue at the original Blog Talk Radio page, which is blogtalkradio.com/here-we-are. And we have some great topics coming up in the next few months, so I hope you'll join us there. Today, co-host Susan Ragazzo and I are chatting about the movie Valentine's Day. And if you've listened before or are new to Chick Flick Chat, we chat about women's roles and roles for women in the movies that have been recently released on DVD and on demand, and everything else we can fit into our chats, like casting, wardrobe, sets, etc. Let's welcome Susan to discuss, dissect, and dish the details of today's Chick Flick Chat. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Lucy. I was thinking that we're a month late with this movie, no?
Well, it's funny you say that, Susan. When I was watching it again, I thought the same thing. But after writing out all my notes for the chat, I realized the universal themes that this movie brings up are not really specific to Valentine's Day. So I think we're okay with that, even though it's March and not February.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And I heard that they are filming a spinoff called New Year's Eve, I believe. So love is love anytime, I guess.
I guess so. And you know what? I guess New Year's Eve, what are the three big holidays? It's Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, maybe Christmas Eve if you celebrate that. The rest of the year is anybody's guess what's going on relationship-wise. Listeners, as always, Susan and I have not discussed the details of this film, so if you want to jump in on the discussion, you can dial 909-265-9175. That's 909-265-9175, and press the number 1 if you'd like to talk, and I'll pick you up. Okay, Susan, let's get going.
Okay. We want to get to the heart of the matter, and that there was no pun intended there. The DVD jacket reads, in this Los Angeles set comedy from director Gary Marshall, the tripwires of modern love are exposed in a carousel involving relationships and the single life on the most romantic day of the year, February 14th. Proposals, infidelity, loneliness, and more are explored. This movie is an ensemble cast starring Julia Roberts, Ashton Kutcher, Jamie Foxx, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Jennifer Garner, Anne Hathaway, Topher Grace, Bradley Cooper, Patrick Dempsey, Eric Dane, and many more.
Okay, Susan. Thank you for that. Out of all the movies we've chatted about, I have to say for me that this one is the most quote-unquote chick flick of all of them that we've done. Do you agree or disagree?
I sort of agree. I have to say, though, on the romance level, I think Twilight had more romance than this movie, Valentine's Day. So
okay, I know you're Twihard. I don't even consider this. I know we covered them because they were so hot, and it is a female, and it gave us a lot of great content to talk about. But you know, I. For me, the closest one to this, and I think because of the regular type of ensemble cast that they used, which was the movie He's Just Not That Into You. I thought that was a real chick flick.
Yeah.
Similar, but still was, this one, this Valentine's Day, it's a lot of fluff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was an issue. There were too many relationships being explored here to really build any kind of romance, any kind of bulk. So you get a
lot
of
fluff. Yeah, I agree. And out of the 10 previous chick flick chats, this was the weakest movie. I think even when you look at The Twilight and The New Moon, they brought up a lot of issues that, you know, that we things we like to talk about, but this one it didn't offer much in the way of deep introspection for the characters, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in fact, I guess I sort of already alluded to this, but it was as glossy as the commercialism that the, you know, Hallmark drives for the Valentine's Day holiday itself. I can't even remember the names of the characters. So just, you know, I don't know how you are with that, but for me and for the listeners, I'd like to just use the actors' names as we go through this chat to refer to to the characters.
Yeah,
That's the first time we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the only way really to kind of keep it all together, because like you said, you just lost their names. There's so many of them. There's so much going on. So I think people are going to relate more to the actor's name as opposed to the character's name.
Right. And I'm not sure if I like Gary Marshall as a director. I'm not sure whether this was driven by direction or the writing. You know, there was some really good casting and some not so good casting. But anyway, okay, let's get to the meat of this. Let's get going. Or what did you say, to the heart of the matter? There's universal issues that are brought up throughout this movie. And it opens with a proposal by Ashton Kutcher to Jessica Alba. And he goes around. She says yes. He goes around telling everybody, she said yes, she said yes. But everyone he encounters is surprised. And later, we see that she leaves him. She says, I'm not ready. And his best friend, George Lopez, says, I had an inkling. Well, this begs the question. If you have that inkling, or if you have a sense, do you tell someone your true thoughts, or do you leave it alone to let it play out?
And that's a tough question. I feel like it depends. If your inkling is based on, I just don't like him, or he rubs me the wrong way, I think you have to be honest with your friend and tell them your opinion, but then you kind of got to step out of it. You know, if your inkling is based on genuine concern, I think it's okay to gently tell your friend about your concerns, but you still have to allow them to be the master of their own destiny. That's kind of what happened with Ashton and Jennifer in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I think everyone in real life has gone through this, where you have a friend or even a relative.
Sure.
It could be a brother or sister who's dating someone, they're getting serious, and you just really, you know, and you're right. You have to take your own personal feelings out of it. But if you can tell it's not the right person, or they're not right, not the right connection, what do you do? Yeah. Do you say something? Because then you risk for all time being the one who was the naysayer. And there is sort of a funny scene between Ashton and George Lopez where, when George Lopez says, I had an inkling, Ashton says, you're supposed to tell if you have an inkling. It's in the handbook to share the inkling.
Yeah. Well, if you truly, when you're in a relationship, a friendship with somebody, you got their back. So if your inkling is based, you know, again, on genuine concern, I do believe you need to speak it. But if you just don't like someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that person is bad or wrong for your friend. That you just don't like them. So you have to really discern where you're at and where this is coming from before you approach your friend.
Have you ever had this situation?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, with my father, I had this situation, and I told him because I did have genuine concerns, but then I let it alone, and I said, okay, you do what you want. You know, I don't expect someone to live their life by my rules. So, and he continued with the relationship, and it turned out that it played out, and it didn't work out.
I told a friend.
And how did you, how did yours turn out?
And she married him, and it's just been a rocky road. We'll just leave it at that. That had I not said anything, but, you know, anyway. So I don't know whether it does really any good to tell.
Yeah, ultimately go ahead.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Okay.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner. I love Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, and she's just likable. She's just so she had, I think she sort of had the audience's heart to begin with in the role. She's so sweet. She's having this relationship with Patrick Dempsey, who's a doctor in the film, and he's married. She doesn't know it. Ashton finds out, and he tells her, and then she, like, denies it. Of course, she goes through the steps, like, denial, no way, you know, you're wrong, you're just feeling bad. And she kind of puts it back on Ashton, and they're good friends. Let's cover this whole mess.
Okay. Well, you know, I completely understand when you're that happy, and you don't want someone coming in and bursting your bubble, even if it's someone that you do trust presenting you with the truth. So, yeah, that denial, I totally get that.
And this goes back to the inkling, don't you think? Like, an inkling is an inkling or a feeling. But then when you have proof, this is another level of having to share.
Yes. Yeah, when you have proof, you really, you need to go forward. And because you have the back of your friend, you do. I think you have a responsibility. It's in the handbook. You know? But I think... I think we need to address something here that happened in the movie. Initially, Ashton did not want to tell her. And George Lopez was the one who said, you got to tell her. You got to tell her. You have the proof. And it was only after being spurred on by George Lopez that he decided to tell her. Because, and we also have to mention, he just got his heart broken. So he's like, I don't want her to have to go through that. So he kind of went through stages before he made that decision to confront her with the information.
But he does. And he tells her.
He does.
And yeah, it's, and that is a hard decision. That's sort of like why we're bringing this up, because the movie does bring up whether it's, you know, from either side, male or female, having to tell the friend, or it's just, it's a really bad position for everyone to be in.
Yeah.
You know, for the friend and for the person who's going to hear the bad news, and it just, and then it kind of, it doesn't change the friendship, and there's certainly there's the feelings of humiliation, and, you know, you're embarrassed or what if you didn't know, and she sort of has that, and they have the scene at the airport. She gets on the plane anyway to go surprise Patrick Dempsey, and she gets to this, she goes to the hospital where he's supposed to be at, and of course he's not on duty there, and I the nurses at the station, we're looking at her with those eyes that know, like, oh, she's like another one of his girlfriends.
Yes. Yeah,
and
I totally got that impression.
Her.
Mm-hmm. I did too. My heart
and
broke.
And then the one nurse turns to the other one, like, should I tell? And the more senior nurse, like, shakes her head. And after Jennifer Garner gets the news that he's out to dinner with his wife, you know, who they're celebrating their anniversary, the other nurse comes over and tells her where they're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is sort of, I thought, a universal thing, like that you know, when you have like a cheat, you kind of want to reveal them for who they are.
Yeah. Although I have to say, that way the whole thing played out in the end was kind of weird to me, where she confronted them at the restaurant. I know it's Hollywood and all. But and then
okay,
she walks away like, I've got my vindication, and she's like it was
okay,
nothing.
Okay, that was a little over the top. I agree with you, but what I felt like it was definitely, you're right, it was very Hollywood. However, it was the movie that is in all of our heads when you've been in that position. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, yes, I get that, yeah.
Like, you know, your mind goes to, like, the extreme things that you'd like to do to them.
Yeah, and you want to
do
the one on the
anything.
Top and walk away confidently. And yeah, I get that.
Right, and you want to look good doing it. She looked fabulous.
Yes.
And he's sitting there, and the wife is sitting there surprised. And, you know, it's you're turning the table. She's in control. So I really felt like that was the gift to the women of in the audience who always thought about doing something like that.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sure. That's
and she got
funny.
To
I like
live
the
it
way
out
you...
in the film.
Yeah, very cool. Okay.
So, I apologize to the listeners. We seem to be dropping out here a little bit on the tech, but we'll just keep going through, Susan. So if I speak over you, speak over me, we'll just keep talking. Okay. Jamie Foxx, he's a reporter, and he gets reluctantly, he's sent out on this assignment by Kathy Bates, who's, I guess, the news editor, and she tells him, I need you to cover Valentine's Day. I need happy, I need romantic, I need love. So here we have the media creating this image or impression of what's supposed to be the most romantic holiday of the year.
Yes. I'm going to apologize in advance because this is a soapbox moment for me. I hate to categorize Valentine's Day as a holiday. The media, consumerism, they perpetuate these ideas. Why can't we be happy and romantic and loving every day? Now, I am a Valentine's hater. I'll admit it. You know, but our culture reserves this one day to display for love from our significant other. Now, I don't want my significant other feeling obliged to buy me a card that's not even written in their own words, just because our calendar dictates it. So for me, a real display of love would be surprising me with a little love note in my lunch some other day of the year. You know what I mean?
Wonderful point.
I did it.
Very well put. And I think that this is really the underlying message of this, you know, when you really think about this with this whole movie and the focus and the energy and the money that is spent on this quote unquote holiday, you know, and it's sort of a slap in the face of the media in the movie, you know, art imitates life. Where the media in our real lives does this. You see all kinds of reports on Valentine's Day at the florists and the reports of the roses being sold. Really well put, Susan, and you're right. It should be every day. And in fact, I did a show recently with Dave Simonson called Successful Relationships. And that was actually that we did that in February, and we talked about Valentine's Day being the time of year where you know, everybody reassesses their relationships. And you know, we talked, and he said something very similar to what you just said about it should be, you know, the whole year through. And for listeners, if you'd like to hear that show, that is at the Here We Are station, and it was a very good show and very informative, and Dave was a great guest. Okay, Anne Hathaway, this was I like her.
And,
you know,
too.
We covered her before in Rachel Getting Married when we did Chick Flick Chat, and this is a very different role for her here. She's dating Topher Grace, and she's moonlighting as a sex phone worker, and they're trying to establish this new relationship. So, you know, I felt like with this there could have been so much more explored. I thought that out of all the connections going on, this was very shallow.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And before I get into it, props to Anne Hathaway. She was very funny. I loved all her accents.
Yeah.
She was cracking me up. One of the few moments during the movie I was laughing. She needs the money to pay off her student loans, so she gets the second job moonlighting as the phone sex operator. Topher doesn't find out about this until later, and he totally rejects her based on this alone. There's a lot going on there.
I didn't think there was, I mean, it was pretty much what you just said. It was pretty, I didn't really see a lot of depth in this, but I like her a lot, and I like him, but she does make
a
comment
that
phone sex, the business of phone sex, the busiest day of the year is Valentine's Day, and that's probably true, and again, people are seeking intimacy, but it's fake intimacy, just like the whole holiday is a fake resemblance of, you know, intimacy. So, what I did like about the one scene she does have with him when she says she's telling about needing the money, she doesn't make any apologies for it. She does what she has to do, and she's just, you know, going forward. So I like that. Shirley MacLaine, love Shirley MacLaine, great actress, she does a wonderful job in a very small role. I would have liked to have seen this expanded a bit more, but she reveals to her husband that she had an affair years ago with his business partner, and the husband is played by Hector Elizondo. Are some things better left unsaid?
I think that's a tough question. I think every scenario is different, you know. I have to wonder if sometimes you're so far removed from a situation that it doesn't serve a purpose to purge a secret. You know, like, for example, if your significant other is on their deathbed, is that a time to clear your conscience? Probably not. You know?
Probably not.
On the other hand, you know,
I don't know why I'm laughing
secret.
About that. It's not a funny scenario, but it just that would not be the time to say, oh, by the way, remember your business partner?
Yeah, I
agree with you.
Because they're dying and you feel a sense of guilt. Not, you know, that's not the time. If the secret puts the other person in harm, or if it's hurting the relationship in a negative way, it's probably something good to get out there and deal with. So I think it really depends.
Yeah, and we learned from them in the end that it's about loving the whole person, the warts and all. And I'm not sure that resonated with me in the right way with how they came back together. I kind of thought that was glossed over, and that's what I meant. I would like to see more about this.
Agreed.
I guess you're right. Every situation is different, and this is one of the universal themes that this movie brought up, is that are things better left unsaid in a long-term relationship? Like sometimes, they were going along, she did it, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's, but at the same time, I thought, interesting question. Full disclosure versus non-disclosure.
Yeah. I think it really depends.
It depends, and
yeah.
But then again, some people would say, oh no, you have to tell. But is telling only to relieve your own guilt? Jessica Biel, all alone, hating Valentine's Day, throwing a party for herself and other haters of the holiday, of which you would probably have been invited if you were in this movie. You're a hater of Valentine's Day. But they all come together to this party in the end where she, they're all basically seeking a camaraderie or togetherness or something on this holiday, which is supposed to be for camaraderie and togetherness. So it's sort of an antithesis of what, the whole thing, the party is an antithesis of the representation of the holiday. But when they're in the restaurant where the party's taking place, on the other side of the restaurant, there's a wedding happening.
Yeah,
so you have
this
juxtaposition of people hating the holiday and others, getting together. That I thought was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Hard to believe Jessica Biel was all alone.
I understand what you're saying, but honestly, I didn't find it hard to believe. I mean, they're a good group of actors. They played their parts well. And I didn't perceive her character, even though she's gorgeous, why does she need to have to date why is it expected that she should have a date because she's gorgeous? I just didn't see that, because there could be other issues going on with her character that keep her in a position of loneliness. So for me, that didn't follow through.
Okay, I agree with you, and I think everybody deserves love. It doesn't matter if you're 5'11" and, look like Jessica Biel. What matters is, finding it and being a whole person and loving yourself first. However, I think in this movie, with her having such an extreme passion against the holiday, I just didn't think it meshed up right. I just kept feeling like it wasn't flowing well. It just didn't work for her, with her in that role. And you're right. I mean, there are beautiful women that are alone on Valentine's Day. So that doesn't really have anything to do with it necessarily. I don't know. I just didn't, there were other
you
issues.
You think it was more with the writing?
I don't know, but were the other issues she was having, I didn't get something you said just sparked this. I didn't get the impression that her issues that she said she had to do with anything but the fact that she didn't have a date on Valentine's Day.
Agreed. I do agree with that.
And I think that was the weakness in that if she had other things, or she was, we were seeing she was so busy in her career or something like that, that would be, so that was a little, that I just thought was miscasting.
Okay.
Or maybe the writing.
There was a disconnect for you?
Yes, definitely a disconnect. And I would have liked that to have been explored more. And, and she's a good actress, and, she's obviously gorgeous. And, there was stuff there that could have happened. Which that was a little bit of a lost leader. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did like in this movie that they cast women of all ages, which obviously they had all these vignettes happening, but Emma Roberts is turning 18, she's coming of age, all the way up to Shirley MacLaine, who's, in the twilight years. Liked that a lot. Full representation of love, from young to old.
Yeah, and that was the nice part, because they did explore so many different aspects of relationships along the age, like you said, 18-year-olds old to Shirley MacLaine, who's ready to renew her vows after, 45 years marriage, whatever it was. That was very nice. The unfortunate part about the movie, I think, was that there was so much going on, they didn't have the ability to explore these relationship issues further. But I did all the different contrasts.
Yeah, you didn't have the opportunity to go to be deep with it. It was all very surface. I think also the message there is that everybody wants love. Everybody wants romance. Whether you're 18 or you're 70-something or 80-something. Not that Shirley MacLaine is 80-something, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. Everybody wants romance.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
You know, and why shouldn't we have romance? But it doesn't have to be, going back to this thing about Valentine's Day, every on one day of the year, it would be nice to have it spread out a little bit.
And all the expectations that come with that one day, the roses, the candy, the cards,
the
drinks,
pressure,
the whatever.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. How do people do it? So I just remove myself from the whole
okay,
thing.
Okay, now, other casting thoughts, Susan. Bradley Cooper, love Bradley Cooper, as Eric Dane's boyfriend. So that was a surprise. Oh, we did a little spoiler if you haven't seen the movie. You know, that was interesting. And then Julia Roberts, where Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts are on the airplane on a very long flight home. You know, she's coming home to see her son, another form of love. And then Queen Latifah. She's taking charge.
Yeah.
She's this, you know, high-powered businesswoman. And what we see with her, though, is that she's alone. She ends up being alone, but she's comfortable with it.
That's right. That's
versus
fine.
Jessica Biel.
Yes, which was a nice dynamic that played out. And that's another issue with Valentine's Day is the fact that they make it seem like it's not okay to be alone on Valentine's Day. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? And you said, Queen Latifah, she's so confident in herself, she doesn't need to be with someone on that day, which I think is great.
Susan,
you know, you have to
come
within yourself. Wow.
I want to get to the sets and wardrobe, or not so much the wardrobe, but really anything about the movie overall that you noticed that.
No, nothing stood out for me. It was nice to see the shop in LA. I've never been there.
Okay, the radio DJ in the background reminded me of American Graffiti, which is one of my favorite movies. So I like that.
Okay.
I like that effect. It's a nice vehicle to move the movie along. And what were your overall impressions? Does the film benefit anyone? Is this a film that you'd recommend?
I didn't see any benefit to it. It's a cute flick, mildly enjoyable. That's about it.
I like an intersecting plot, so that is one thing that kept me interested in it, and I thought, you know, I saw this a while ago, and then in you and I discussing which movie we were going to do, and choosing Valentine's Day, one of the reasons I came back to it was because I do like an intersecting plot, and I wanted to see it again and break it down, and, you know, so that's George Lopez, the one benefit out of the whole movie, the best quote of the movie, he says, and I don't remember. Oh, he says it to Eric Dane when they get a little fender bender on the road. We have 2 minutes left, Susan. He says, for some people, love doesn't exist unless you acknowledge it in front of other people. I think that pretty much drilled down the entire point of the holiday and the movie.
Yeah.
And in the end, we have the ultimate Hollywood ending of the big screen kiss. So does this send the message that don't worry, it all works out in the end?
You know, it wouldn't be our culture if we didn't wrap it up perfectly with a nice little bow. Yes, it perpetuates the message overall, but I don't think it was strong enough in this movie to provide any concern. It was just fluff.
Okay, movie music at the end, when they're kissing, the song playing is singing, "Today was a fairy tale."
Yeah, that's the culture.
Susan, we covered a lot.
We did.
We're going to have to pick another movie very soon, so we'll talk about that. As always, Susan, I can't wait for the next Chick Flick Chat. I have a list, so we'll discuss it. If anybody would like to send in some suggestions, please do. And you can always email us right through Here We Are with Lucy. Anything you want to add?
No, I guess I'll just say, if you're looking to veg out with nothing too deep or serious or overly sappy, this is a movie for you.
It was fun.
It was
cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
I like what we talked about. I think there could have been more. We'll see if in the new movie that you mentioned earlier, the New Year's Eve movie, if they maybe go a little deeper. I hope they do.
I hope so, too.
So I guess we'll have to follow up on Chick Flick Chat with that one.
There you go. There you go.
Susan,
schedule's filling up.
Thank you very much. And listeners, thank you for sharing part of your busy day with us. We understand that every minute counts, and we hope our radio shows and lifestyle information at herewearewithlucy.com help to make your life better, brighter, and easier on your way to running the world. On behalf of Susan and myself, I look forward to speaking with you and discussing more movies in the future next time on Chick Flick Chat.